Just past 1 o'clock, Hans and Scotty. We're live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, about 5700 South State Street. Come by, hang out with us as we go down to Las Vegas to chat with the play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke. David, how are you?
Hey, David.
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. How's the course looking down there?
Well, we're at Southern Highlands, and it might be the nicest golf course I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it is. I'd move to Vegas for this. Like, this is ridiculous. This is seriously, it's like being at the Masters. Most beautiful place I've ever seen.
I'd move to Vegas, too, but for different reasons.
Right, but I would move to play. I actually could like golf if I got to play Southern Highlands.
How much golf do you play, or do you just mostly watch your daughter in tournaments?
I probably spend more time doing that, but I play. She's not very, really love it. Like, the one I always notice is that she'll go to the range, and until recently I had to take her to the range. So she'd be at the range for 2 hours, and I'd, like, do something else. I've had plenty of chances to practice. I just don't do it. Just don't like it that much. So that's on me.
You're either all in or not at all, huh?
It's not like skiing to me. I'll put it that way.
Hey, should we be talking about Rudy Gobert more as an MVP?
You know, it's a interesting question. So I can actually answer it either way. Like, the homer answer is yes, we should. His impact on the game. But, like, on the other end, like, who are we really talking about as an MVP right now?
That would be a guy in Denver.
And anyone else? Are we really?
Nope.
No.
Talking about anybody else at this point? So, I mean, I kind of think that, like, oh, man, Arden's competition just hit the rocks and then the ball swung all the way back into play. That is not good when you're down 2 on 17. Anyway, I'll focus on our conversation. So I think Rudy should be being talked about as the most one of the most impactful players in the league. The Jazz differential when he's on and off the floor is, I think, the most of any player in the league. You know, I think our defense is in the 97th percentile when he's on the floor, and our defense is in about the 32nd percentile when he's off the floor. So I think, you know, when you, like, in that sense, I think he's an MVP caliber player, but I don't, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, yes, he should be talked about more as one of the elite players in the league who has the biggest impact. Is he really an MVP? Probably not.
Statistically, is this his best defensive season?
I think so. Though last year he was really great because the difference between the two was something else. I could make a really big statistical argument that, and there's two answers to this. One is that he has carried a not very good defensive team to being an elite defensive team, single-handedly. So I can argue that pretty easily. Like, the numbers when he's off the floor, we're not actually an above-average defensive team when he's off the floor. We're significantly below average each of the last 2 years.
Wow.
So now, there is also an element to this, in fairness, that we have built an entire defensive system around Rudy and how to play with Rudy. And so that when Rudy's off the floor, if we're playing a similar style of defensive system, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work as well, right? So there's some element that that's maybe not the most fair evaluation of the other players. Like, if you're starting center with somebody other than Rudy, we might defend differently than we do. But I would say, you know, I've always said one of the five most impactful players in the NBA, 10 most impactful players in the NBA. I think this year he's probably one of the five most impactful players in the NBA. I guess that would – I think there's a, what, plus 18 per 100 possessions difference with him on and off the floor?
Sounds
plus
about
18.8,
right.
Yeah. I think so. Like, I think that's the biggest in the league. So, in that sense, he is statistically the most impactful player on his team of any player in the NBA.
When David Robinson won his, how many points a night was he putting up? Was
it probably 24 to 25. I mean, I think David Robinson might have won a scoring title at some point.
Yeah.
I'm just trying
maybe
to think
not.
Of,
maybe,
of
maybe
anybody
David
that compares.
Knows. I mean, I think he's Ben Wallace, Dikembe Mutombo, probably better offensively than Dikembe. I think he's Ben Wallace, you know, multiple-time defensive. He's going to the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, in that sense, he's pretty special, right? Like, I don't think people are actually lost on Rudy's impact anymore. I mean, I think they're a little lost on his offensive impact, and I think unless you watch him every night, I don't think you quite get it. In fact, I was talking to Ryan Smith yesterday, and he was saying how Dwayne Wade was like, oh my gosh, his impact's unbelievable. So, I mean, here you have one of the brightest guys in the league and one of the best players to ever play. And, you know, he's watching him and says, you know, wow, look at him. Like, so that's, I mean, that's what we're at, is that until you watch Rudy every night and really take it all in, I don't think you quite grasp what he's doing.
Well, I was watching last night, Andre Drummond, what do you think? He's got 40 pounds on Rudy? 50 pounds on Rudy?
I mean, I think they nicely list him at about 285.
So he's a handful, and he was slamming that shoulder and even extending a bit to try to overpower Rudy. And Rudy gave a touch of ground. I thought that he got some terrible whistles, but Rudy can hold his ground. I mean, even if a guy comes in and he's just trying to be overbearing with size and physicality, Rudy's still making it extremely difficult to get anything you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were like 0 for 3 at the rim in the first quarter last night, something crazy like that. They didn't make a shot in the rim in the first quarter. Their bigs are, what, 4 of 16 combined shooting last night? Like, that's, I mean, his impact of the game is astronomical. So, you know, if the MVP was just impact on the game, then I would argue his impact on the game defensively is every bit as much as Jokic or somebody else's impact on the game is offensively. So, to back where we started, should he be in the MVP conversation more? Yes, probably. You know, we have the best record in the NBA. He's the reason. You know, we're dominant on the defensive end because of him and only because of him, frankly. I mean, Royce does a lot of hard work and stuff, but, like, it's still because of Rudy. And so when you – and then on the offensive end, I do think he has – you know, our essence is that we take the most threes of anyone in the league. He's not making them, but I do think he's creating them with his presence and his role to the basket. I mean, last night, they're double-teaming him basically – they're basically taking two guys to the ball and a third guy to Rudy's role. So if – you know, that's not quite a double team on Rudy on the roll, but it's pretty darn close. And so that double team is the same thing as what, you know, everybody, you know, that you have to do when Harden's got the ball or Durant's got the ball or in some ways. So, and you could certainly make the argument, you're probably stretching a tiny bit, but he's really, really special. We're really lucky to have him. And, you know, statistically, he's the most impactful player in the league, and there's a reason on the best team.
Joe Ingles on the season is averaging 5.7 attempts from three. He's shooting nearly 50%. And over the last five games, he's attempted 8, 12, 7, 9, 10, 8. Is that a conscious decision by this coaching staff to try to get him more looks?
Well, some of that, I think Mike and Donovan are out, so he gets more, you know. Like,
part
of the reason
true.
We wonder why, like, we have too many offensive players. Right. So the beauty, everyone wants Royce O'Neal to shoot more. Like, the beauty of Royce O'Neal is he doesn't shoot, because Boyan, when suddenly someone's out, looks a lot better. Right. Like, go look at Boyan's numbers when all five starters play versus when four starters play. Like, it's pretty dramatic because he gets the ball more. But when Mike and Donovan and Joe and everybody are available, then there really aren't shots to be had in that circumstance for Boyan the same way. I mean, last year when Mike was struggling, Boyan had, I think, 11 first quarters in which he had 10 or more points, and this year he's done it twice, both in games in which somebody wasn't playing. So it's just, you know, I think we've evolved and we've gotten better, and then Jordan's taking a lot of shots, so Boyan doesn't get some of those same looks. Also, Boyan played with Rudy every minute last year, so, like, to the point of, like, why is Mike playing better this year? Because he plays with Rudy every minute. Like, that's Rudy's impact. Rudy plays with Mike now every minute. If you go look at Mike's numbers last year, when he's on the floor with Rudy, they're not far off this year's numbers. But Mike played a lot of minutes without Rudy last year, and then he wasn't as good, because that's Rudy's impact. That's the MVP you're talking about. What Joe's doing is historic. You take, I think, at five threes, only Kyle Korver has ever had a better shooting season in the history of the league, which was, interestingly, on that 60-win Hawks team that the Jazz get compared to the most.
Yeah.
I have a statistic I call points gained, which is you take the players' possessions or scoring opportunities in a night compared to what an average player would do with those. Steph's obviously number one in the league, breaking the game right now. Joe's the seventh most positively impactful offensive player in the NBA. The league still doesn't quite understand the value of 50% from three. Like, it's a crazy number. It's game-changing, and it's why we win. I can make a pretty good argument Joe Ingles is our best offensive player this year.
So should Joe be being talked about more as a sixth man than Clarkson?
Yes.
Because, you know, we bring in a lot of national guys, and they're all saying they're voting for Jordan Clarkson for sixth man of the year.
He's averaging the most points of anyone off the bench. It's a pretty sophisticated award.
David, what is...
Man, never change, David.
David, what is Boyan's best... What is he best at on a court?
Toughness. He's our tough. That's what's been strange to me about how much he's argued with the officials this year. His demeanor, his spraining an ankle last year, missing a game, and then basically telling the trainers, like, okay, you had your game. I'm good now.
Wow.
Like, don't talk to me. Right? Like, shoulder, like the wrist injury last year. Basically saying I'm playing the shoulder injury last year. Don't look at me. Like, literally, after the game, don't talk to me. I'm fine. I'm playing. So he actually leads in a really subtle way with that type of stuff. Because we have it in Royce. We're pretty young. You know, if there's a negative characteristic to our team, I'm not sure that we've stayed fully engaged as we should all the time, right? We're up, you know, we've seen it, right? We were up 3-1 to Denver and let go of the rope and then tried to... Mm-hmm. Bring it back in the final 24 minutes. That wasn't great. Like, I feel pretty comfortable had Boyan played in that series that we would have won that series, not because of his shooting or anything else, but just because of his toughness.
Does high tide lift all boats on that? Is the team a tougher team because of that influence in a locker room?
I think so. I mean, considering what Boyan went through as a child,
yeah.
Like, what are you gonna do? Complain to him? Like, I mean, I think Boyan has told me, if I remember correctly, I keep, you know, every story I have is now 14, 15 months old, so I'm old and I get nervous that maybe I've forgotten, but, I mean, my memory is Boyan telling me a story about playing on a soccer field and having a bomb land on the field. Okay.
That changes you a little bit.
Yeah, what are you going to do, complain to Boyan? I'm like, golly, this COVID thing, like, you know, right? Like, what are you going to do, complain to Boyan? Like, I don't think that's a very good idea. Good ball, kid.
Yep. David Locke joining us right.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Hang on. Okay. There we go. Sorry.
We all right? We on the green?
We're on 18 driving, very, very complicated drive on this. If you ever get a chance to play this golf course, play it. I don't know what the rules and restrictions are to get in here. I think you might have to be like Tiger Woods. I have no idea. This thing is the most beautiful golf course I've ever been to. It's called Southern Highlands, and it is unbelievable. Like, I don't know why they let me in. I'm not supposed to be here. It's kind of like when I travel with the NBA and I walk into those hotels and I'm like, yeah, which one of us should not be here? But yeah, she's the split fairway and she kind of just rolled off a little bit to the side. But she's all right.
All right.
Play-by-play of golf.
I think that'd be hard. I don't think I'd want any part of that.
So my wife did it on a local broadcast out in Kentucky. I think they had a tournament at Valhalla. And she was calling it the PGA Championship or something like that on a local broadcast. And, the ball literally, her partner, she's playing foursome. The ball just literally landed like 1 foot away from me, almost killed me. off the cart path. She was playing. She didn't have ever done golf TV. So she didn't know that her IFB, which is, if those don't know what IFB means, it's the communication system to your ear, wasn't working. And so she would, like, see the red light on the camera go on, and then she would do her little what's going on there, because she knew that if the red light on the camera went on that she was on. But she didn't realize that, like, she was actually supposed to be hearing the commentators talking to her and throwing to her. I mean, she kind of thought so, but she's like, well, I've never done golf before, so maybe this is how it works in this system. And, you know, she had mentioned to someone, they didn't really do anything about it. And at the end of the day, she's like, wow, that is hard. That's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, not being able to hear, like, anyone talking to you, just knowing you're on. Like, how do you know what you're talking about? They're like, you didn't hear anyone all day? So she did a 6-hour broadcast with no IFB. Thought golf was really hard. That, I think, would be harder than – she's also very good at this. But, yeah, I think golf would be hard. I actually like it on the radio, though. I think it's pretty good.
Well, David, we appreciate it. I know you got some big moments coming up here in the next 10, 15 minutes. We'll let you get to it, man. Appreciate it.
Good luck, David.
I think they're on the wrong side of Dormy right now, but – But anyway, thank you. Hope I wasn't too distracted. But
no, not at all. Appreciate it.
So, All right. And yes, you've convinced me Rudy Gobert should be an MVP candidate.
I like it. There we go.
Okay. Something got accomplished here.
That's David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. You know, look, I played a little high school football and enjoyed it and loved every second of it. Never got too overly nervous playing, you know, before a game or anything like that. Just, you know, we're out there. Like, I knew there wasn't any college scholarships coming, and I knew that I was just having fun with my buddies and, you know, knocking some heads here and there and hoping to have some fun. I don't think you – were you a nervous – did you get nervous playing at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do you get more nervous watching your kids play
than
when you played?
Much more.
Because I can tell that with David. Like, you know, he's living and dying with every shot there.
Yeah, much more. I get very nervous. I can't hardly even watch my son play football. I can watch my girls play volleyball, but it's an internal struggle because every mistake they have – I reflect back to my time as an athlete and knowing what they're going to go through with their coaches. It's, you just know what they're facing. It sucks, man. It's tough to go through that. I asked David about Boyan's best attribute on a court because, and toughness came out of nowhere. I didn't expect that because I don't see Boyan as being the tough factor for the Jazz at all. I see that being Rudy Gobert, but I've never seen like the regulator or the toughness or the bring the pain or the, I've never seen that from him. So that was kind of a surprise to me. Have you ever seen that from him? Now coming back from an ankle injury,
shows toughness. I don't see him back down to anybody. I see him staying aggressive. Obviously, David knows more of the behind-the-scenes stuff with the injuries
exactly.
than we do.
That's why I love that answer.
And the toughness, I don't see him getting pushed around. But I haven't seen him in a fight or anything.
So when the Jazz originally brought him in from Indiana, I was thinking to myself, you know, this is a great opportunity to find a spot-up shooter. It's a really nice exterior presence. There were a few different things I thought with Boyan, but what I didn't think was this guy has a true ability to put the ball on the floor, off the dribble, to create and find his way to the rim.
Yeah.
Or off the catch, be able to put it back on the floor and really drive to the rim with, I guess to use David's term, with some level of toughness. But also, it's a slow delivery at the rim. You know, he's not doing it the way Jordan Clarkson's doing it. He does have some nifty moves. But I just wonder, is he now more usable as a catch-and-shoot three, or is he always been looked at as, well, let him use his three-point ability to create creative opportunities for him to get offensive looks? I think he's using that pretty well right now, and I think it's coming along more and more as his wrist probably feels better and better for him.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's kind of ramping up. I'm hoping he ramps up into a playoff form that is exactly what the Utah Jazz need from him.
No doubt. No doubt. And I think he can be, too. And, look, you know, I think you've got Rudy Gobert, who's tough as nails. Boyan, who's a tough son of a gun. I think Joe's got some toughness in him, too. Like, I think this team overall has a strong level of toughness to it that maybe we haven't seen, you know, in previous Jazz teams.
Yeah. Well, that, I think in order to be the fourth best defense in the league, I think you have to carry a level of toughness. Because you had Royce O'Neal in there. And it's not that Royce comes across as overly tough, but he does play physical defense. I'll bet if you ask some of the guards in the NBA, unless they're just trying to show hate towards the Jazz, which a lot of them seem to be doing, what Royce is all about, I guarantee they're going to say tough physical defender.
That yeah.
He's playing really tough on the perimeter. When Royce bodies up and when he throws a chest at you and when he's using quick hands to try to swat a ball and he's forcing your dribble to the outside and he's doing all the things that Royce does, he makes it difficult.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Jazz have the night off, back in action tomorrow against Houston. We'll talk more about that coming up in our Jazz at 30, coming up in about 6 minutes from right now. But Hans, you and I hanging out here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, where I think you were planning on coming in and saying $3,000 on a trade-in, but Sam said, no, let's up that up a little bit. Let's throw in an extra $500 on a trade-in.
Yeah, $3,500, and that's on a trade-in, Scotty, for their vehicle, or just a buy. If you've got a car that is worth more than $4,000, bring it down to Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. They're going to give you $3,500 over Kelley Blue Book for it. So, and the thing is that I know somebody thinks that that's going to be a difficult, a long process, but I was talking to Doug, who is one of the directors here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. He's like, no, Hans, we really can get this deal done in 15, 20 minutes. We can make this really painless for people and buy their vehicle. So if you've got a car that you've been sitting on that you need to sell and you need cash or you just need to get out of that vehicle, bring it down to any one of the big green buildings and they're going to give you $3,500 over Kelley Blue Book for it. Really is that simple. And they're going to make it quick and efficient for you because they know that you're pressed for time. They know time's important to you, so they want to make it easy. And then remember, they're number one in inventory in the state of Utah. They have been for the over 10 years that I have been working with them, and they will continue to be because they go to great lengths to keep their inventory high.
Come on by, hang out with us. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Time to welcome in Chris Camrani, staff writer for The Athletic.
I know it's a broken record, and it has been for a decade, but when you look at the makeup of these Utah teams since they entered the Pac-12, the one position that has basically held this team back has been the lack of elite quarterback play. If you're going to go to Vegas for the Pac-12 championship game, and if you're going to win and potentially go to a Rose Bowl, you have to have elite quarterback play. Utah's offense is going to have to shoulder the load. The defense, more often than not, is always going to be able to hold up at the end of the bargain. But for me, it's always going to come back to quarterback play. Can Charlie Brewer, can Cam Rising get these guys to Las Vegas? And if so, can they take them even further?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview? Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans?
Recall.
It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall.
It's Total Recall with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Out and about today here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. We have exactly two items of clothing left. I think a shirt and a hoodie. Or maybe two shirts over there.
Looks like two shirts.
We need two more people to come by and clean off the table. We do not want to take this stuff home.
Only two shirts left. That's it. But do appreciate everybody that came.
Oh,
down.
We had a great crowd today.
Really fun to see everybody come down. And I really am hoping that people understand the amazing opportunity they've got here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, all six locations across the Wasatch Front. Please, if you're looking for a new used car, you buy it from Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Every time, they'll take care of you. Great financing options. Incredible. You can get 0% interest on some of these vehicles. You could get $0 down on some of these vehicles. And remember, $3,500 on top of Kelley Blue Book on what they're going to buy the vehicle from you or trade in. But if you just need to sell it, they'll buy it as well. It's really incredible.
Make it happen. Come by. Hang out with us. We're at about 5700 South State Street. Love to see you down here. We'll be here for about another 30 minutes or so. All right. Time for Total Recall. Looking back at some of the big moments of today's show. A part of a show where, Hans, you had an idea for a new nickname for Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert has stood out to me amongst all other Jazz players. And I know that Donovan was on that, whatever, 30, average 32 or 36 yeah. points a night for a stretch. And, you know, obviously Joe Ingles is doing great things in his three-point percentage. And it was nice to get Jordan Clarkson back. I mean, that's been a big storyline. But every time I sit down to watch a game, I am now seeing Rudy Gobert front and center. Swatting balls, getting fantastic position offensively. His hands are better. I don't know if many people have even talked about this. Rudy Gobert's hands and his ability to receive the ball in the lane or at the rim, he doesn't bumble the ball nearly as much as he used to. And so that's not even an excuse for anybody to not try to force the ball into him. He's just more sure-handed. Defensively in transition, he runs his butt off. I think he targets certain individuals. I think he has an axe to grind against Harrell. And last night, there was one block in particular that told me that he was playing very angry, extremely angry, and slammed the ball down in Harrell's face, and it was pretty rough. Johnny, you don't have to do that. Johnny just showed up with our Coke Zero and Diet Mountain Dew. But slammed the ball down on Harrell. It's Rudy Gobert, and I sent out a tweet yesterday talking about the difference of Rudy Gobert on the court with Andre Drummond, and it is night and day. We got to see Andre Drummond on the court without Rudy Gobert just the other night. He went 10 of 15, Scotty, for 27 points. He had 8 rebounds, and the Lakers won 127 to 115. Rudy Gobert shows back up on the court, and Drummond goes 3 of 12 for 8 points.
Yep.
And the Jazz have a 20-plus point lead. I know Mike Conley was a big part of that. I know even having Derek Favors back was nice. But Rudy Gobert is just incredible. I know I'm not breaking news, but he's just incredible.
Nobody impacts the game on a defensive level in the NBA like he does. And statistically, and look, I don't know, like there's always some kind of voter fatigue when people vote for awards. That's why LeBron James doesn't win MVP every single year. And so I don't know if Rudy Gobert is going to win Defensive Player of the Year again, but he should, because he's having his best season as a defensive player in the league right now. Like this season he's having right now is his best defensive year in the NBA, statistically speaking. And it's not, frankly, close.
Yeah.
Honestly. So, I don't know if he'll win it or not, because people sometimes get tired of, you know, voting for the same guy. But I will say that I think it should be his honor, because what he is doing is at an entirely different level. It has been fantastic to watch. And what's great, Hans, and you talk about this a lot, and you know that there's some mindsets of guys in professional sports, and you're around them in Indy, where they get that really, really big contract. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, all right, I made it. I'm good.
Yeah, things change.
That's what I needed. And sometimes that elevates a guy. Sometimes it drops him back down a little bit. I think Andre Kirilenko wasn't the same player once he got his big contract. But there are some guys that get that and feel that level of responsibility and want to say, this is what this team thinks of me monetarily. I have to match that with my play. And Rudy Gobert has always been a guy that has played with a massive chip on his shoulder. And he's a guy that wants to prove people wrong. He doesn't care about friendships and relationships and all that other stuff. He just wants to go and beat your butt and make you look bad. And, boy, is he doing it right now in a big, big way.
I was trying to think of a good nickname for Rudy Gobert. And bear with me. I want his nickname to be the good spouse. And the reason let me explain.
You're going to need to help me on this one.
The reason I think that the good spouse would be a good nickname, I don't know how often this happens to you, but it's like – 3 or 4 times a week, I'll call my wife and I'll be like, hey, honey, I forgot to call the kid's teacher. And I forgot to get that taken care of. And she'll say, oh, I got that. Or, oh, my gosh, I totally forgot to call and take care of, you know, whatever heating bill or whatever, you know, mortgage payment. Oh, no, I got that. Or, oh, hey, I need to call and check on the fence guy, because I got to get that taken. Oh, I already did that. I think that Rudy Gobert takes care of so many things for everybody on the court. that he's the good spouse.
All right, there you go. The good spouse.
Well, it sounds dumb now that I hear it back.
It sounded dumb then.
No, it didn't sound dumb then. When I first said it, it wasn't that dumb. It made a lot of sense to me when I was thinking about it this morning. A lot of sense. I'm like, man, he's just the perfect spouse. Like, everywhere
you could have called
him,
like, he's the Swiss Army knife. Like, he does it all.
Everywhere you fall short, he's there to pick up the pieces. And that's basically my wife on any given day for the last 22 years. Everywhere I fall short, she's like, nope, I got you. I got you. So it sounded really the good spouse, but you're right. I mean, the good spouse with a swat at the rim, it doesn't have the nickname pizzazz.
I mean, the Stifle Tower. I mean, there's been some good nicknames for him. But the good spouse. When you got to explain what it is, then I think it loses a little bit of the luster.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and that was like 5 minutes of explaining it.
It did eat up a good chunk of Total Recall. But no, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. I think it was well thought out. Just because Lloyd doesn't like it doesn't mean it's not good.
There's some level of having to explain, like, the answer, you know, like, to your kids. Like, why was Allen Iverson the answer? Well, kids, because...
It just does.
Yeah.
Because when there was a question on the court, Allen answered it.
Well, why is he the good spouse? Because when somebody screws up, he's there to fix it. So when you have your homework and you don't know how to do it, mom comes over there and saves your bacon again.
Yep. That's the good spouse.
The good spouse.
So is he married?
No.
Is he a spouse?
No. No, he's just the good spouse.
Oh. Huh.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Talk to Jay Hill. Interesting conversation with him as he talks about getting ready for the FCS playoffs, everything that goes along with it. And then the realization that Hans and I did not know this, that only 25% of stadiums are allowed to have fans, or fan attendance is being capped at 25% off, or 25% regardless of whatever stadium is in the country and whatever health officials are saying. And Hans and I went back and forth with Jay on that.
With the NCAA tournament, the way they're doing it right now, everybody has to travel on Thursday, so you got to be on site the Thursday night before the Saturday game, and then they test everybody Friday morning. And so, you know, that's going to make them have to travel on a little bit of a short week for them. But it's not a huge advantage as far as crowd goes, because the NCAA has limited every stadium in the playoffs to 25% capacity.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it has nothing to do with the locale.
Yeah.
You know, we could actually put more fans in our stands, but the NCAA is limiting us.
This is ridiculous to me. Yeah, in a climate where universities need department funding and every penny they can get their hands on, and to have Weber State for the first time in school history have an outright conference championship and get first round a performance at home, and to limit ticket sales, it just seems like it goes directly against what the NCAA is there for.
Yeah, like I said, it's not my place to comment on exactly how or why they do things. I don't know the behind the scenes things of, you know, potential lawsuits or the spread of COVID, and you guys know all along through this whole thing, it's been a frustration of mine and not necessarily the way I envision things going, but, you know, that there's much smarter people out there in the world than me that make, you know, much more important decisions.
Yeah, honestly, and that's Jay taking the high road. I think Jay deep down knows that this is really, really stupid. Am I making a big deal out of
this? No, you're not. This is a head-scratcher to me, and it goes much deeper. If anybody's like, well, we're talking about Weber State, it goes way deeper than that, because – And I know people know that I've got an axe to grind with the NCAA. But even if I set that axe down for a second and I just take an outside look at what these universities are dealing with, everybody needs to understand there's inflated athletic numbers. You've got athletes that have come back. They've taken up an extra year of eligibility. They are extending extra university costs and expenditures towards those athletes to keep them fed, to keep them in class, to keep them on scholarship. And they're trying to fund what happened throughout this COVID situation. And as Scotty so well put, every community has dealt with it differently. Right now, Utah is on top of vaccinations, and we're doing a great job of limiting the spread. I'm even watching the NBA, one of the most restrictive leagues that you can think about. And the NBA is like, do what you can to go make the money that you can make, because that's where we're at right now.
I mean, the NBA has been great in letting local teams handle their local business.
Exactly, because, Scotty, they know the expenditures. They know the cost to run business is so high. And we know that the NBA, out of every league, has had the most restrictions. They've been the most COVID conscious. They've done everything they can to limit it and be really careful with their fans. But even they are – and they obviously – they want there to be some – what do you call it? Fan continuity.
You know,
they want there to be some level of equal competition. But they're telling communities, go make the money that you can make. Weber State needs to make the money that they can make. They won the right to have a first round game in their own stadium. And the NCAA is like, oh, so your community would allow you right now to have 50% attendance? No, I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's 25.
You know, that's taken $350,000 right out of their hands.
Yeah. Like, I hated it when the Pac-12 did it. Pac-12, you know, in the fall said, look, if none of our stadiums can have fans, or if one of our stadiums, and looking at California at the time, can have fans in the stands, none of you can. And then at the end of the year, they lightened it up and let some family members in. But it was a joke then. It's a joke when people try to have a mass rule over different areas of the country and different stadiums. Let individuals choose what's best for them. All right, there you go. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, part of Total Recall. Hey, news on the, outside of the sports world, the Derek Chauvin verdict is in the George Floyd trial going on in Minneapolis. The verdict is in. They anticipate announcing it coming up in about 45 minutes from right now. And that's one that I think everybody across the country is keeping a very, very close eye on. You saw the tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski that the NBA teams are prepped for if the verdict ends up being not guilty, that there might be a few days of games being taken off on the NBA schedule. So it'll be an interesting time coming up here in the next 45 minutes on what our country is going to look like, frankly.
No matter what the verdict is, I hope that our country can handle it the best they possibly can.
Yep.
No matter what it is.
I mean, frankly, prayers for that city right now, for Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, prayers for all of our country and what could possibly happen with it, you know, because no matter what the outcome is, the media is going to blow it up, publicize it, try to get you to go one way or the other with some type of hatred, no matter what it is. And I'm hoping everybody can put the hatred aside and can all try to find a way to become better through this. It's my hope.
Hey, get your foursome together and sign up today for the Dyslexia Center of Utah Charity Golf Tournament. It all happens on May 13th. That's not that far away, Hans.
No, that's
over
coming.
At Cedar Hills.
And this is such a great cause. It goes to help fund the Dyslexia Center. And they are the leading, when it comes to dyslexia, they are the leading help with dyslexia in this state. And I really do love this cause, Scotty.
100% of the proceeds go to the Dyslexia Center Scholarship Fund. Space is limited. And we got an update on some numbers too. If you want to get in on this, you've got to get there now. DyslexiaCenterOfUtah.org. Final segment coming up next. Get you ready for the Big Show straight ahead right here on The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated.
I've been working on something on the Jazz and how they have kind of put things together since last March. And I don't think there was a team in the league that got more value out of the bubble than the Utah Jazz. On a personal level, reconnecting after all the things that happened in March was valuable. And I think on a professional level, how they played and the confidence it gave them was valuable. They didn't walk away from that Denver series feeling down. It hurt, but most of those guys walked away from that Denver series thinking, we can be great. I think it's been a real springboard for what they're doing this year.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, make sure to join. Hey, we got, hey, how about this? Back-to-back shows. You and me and then the Big Show. We'll be at the warehouse from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Price is so low, it'll blow your mind coming up on Friday. Well, back-to-backs at the warehouse.
If you need a bed, if you need a recliner, a sofa, if you need a nightstand, if you need a little furniture, we're talking about the highest quality for prices that will, as Scotty said, blow your mind.
Hey, so did you know who was the first fill-in guy for Alec Trebek, their first guest host? Right. It was Dr. Oz.
Oh, terrible.
Well, he was terrible because, or Aaron Rodgers is this good, because they put out the syndication numbers. Aaron Rodgers averaged 9.19 million viewers for the five episodes the week of April 5th. That show did win the week in syndication. It was 14% up from the final week of Dr. Oz and 0.8%, or excuse me, and 8% higher than Oz's full 2 weeks. So there you go. Aaron Rodgers took Dr. Oz behind the whooping shed.
As he should. Dr. Oz is extremely annoying.
I'm with you on that.
And I think that the numbers will reflect the same as Joe Buck thinks he's going to step in front of that podium and just.
Who's going to watch his show? Like, I think, you know, I know you don't like Joe Buck. I think he's fine. I think he calls an okay game. But I'm not going to be turning on to Jeopardy to watch Joe Buck.
No, I don't care about
that. I will be turning on, and I did turn it on to watch Aaron Rodgers.
So I'm hoping that Aaron Rodgers has just a little bit more of a sports influence on Jeopardy. Who do you need to bring to Jeopardy? You've already got the
nerds,
the educated. You've already got that.
I mean, the educated, yes.
And I'm not saying sports fans aren't educated. I'm just saying most of them are probably busy with a baseball game as Jeopardy is playing on the other channel. And maybe if they're a Green Bay fan or they're a football fan, maybe they tune in. Maybe if they think there's going to be more sports categories. What's wrong with sports category? You get a sports category one in every 20 boards?
If that, yeah.
If that. Give me more sports categories. And they're always fun. Now, the contestants always sit there with a blank stare on their face. Like,
some microbiologist from, you know, Amherst College has no idea.
Name the quarterback with the most Super Bowl rings in NFL history.
Derek Jeter?
it is infuriating, but it's always fun for me because I'm like, ha ha, you think you're so smart.
I got you.
But you're dumb. It's the purple people eaters.
I love it.
I knew that, and you didn't.
You didn't.
You idiot.
Oh, man.
Meanwhile, this guy's picking
up answers. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to get it.
I do, too. I think he will, and I think he deserves it.
Yeah.
Just stop with the LeVar Burton thing.
Don't want any reading rainbow on our Jeopardy.
LeVar doesn't fit it. Like, let's put Aaron Rodgers there.
And, like, frankly, you and I didn't even know LeVar was still with us until we had to Google him yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, he's not bringing any viewers.
If they do pick LeVar Burton, he has to wear that visor.
From Star Trek?
From Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm down for that for sure. All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Big Show coming up next. Hans, we've been out here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
Big thanks to our guys here at LHMUsedCars.com. Six big green buildings where they're saving you thousands upon thousands. I want to leave you with a thought. Why buy new when you could save thousands of dollars buying used? Really think through that question. Why buy a new vehicle when you could save thousands of dollars buying a used vehicle? Why have a $500 or $600 car payment when you could have a $200 car payment and have something that's the equivalent of that vehicle? Come into Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarkets. Come to talk to these amazing people down here. They've got a great sales staff. They have fantastic management. All of these guys know the Hanson Scotty Show. Come down. Let them know you're a listener. Let them know you heard the $3,500 over Kelly Blue Book. Let them know that you heard the $4,000 for anything you can push, pull, or drag. And come down and let them find you the best car, the best vehicle for the best price. That's LHMUsedCars.com.
Big show next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.